There was a young girl who on Father's Day, like today, went with her father to a new parish. And of course, she was young, not even in preschool. And she began to be bored, because children are bored in church often. And so she looked and she saw a big red vigil light. And she says, "Daddy, when that light turns green, we can go home." Well, today everything's in green. I hope you don't leave right away. Even our vigil light reminds us of the presence of our Lord in the tabernacle. Everything's in green. But to remind us that the Holy Spirit is always the source of life, of new beginnings, of new start, of giving us the wisdom to see ourselves. In Ukrainian, there's an old saying, "Найтемніше під носом." It's darkest under your nose. In other words, the most difficult thing to see is yourself, how you act and how you live. I was recently reading a book about confession, and no matter how much you read the Holy Scriptures, you always find something new. And I was reading about Genesis, about Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, and how God goes looking for Adam and Eve, how God asks Cain, "Where is your brother?" And the book made a good point. Adam and Eve never say they're sorry. Cain never does any repentance for killing his own brother. God wasn't asking them questions because he didn't know the answer. He knew where they were and he knew what they did. He was giving them the opportunity to say, "I'm sorry," to begin that process of repentance to a happier and more noble life. And it's always beautiful when you don't have to act, but you are who you appear to be. There was once an actor who was visiting an acting school and says, "What do you want to become?" to one of the students. And the student says, "I want to be an actor." And he said, "Don't let anyone ever catch you doing that." In other words, be such a good actor that people will think it's real. Well, for us, psychologically, when you don't have to imagine a secondary personality or a secondary history, then you can become free. Then psychologically, you don't have to think about something else. You know the old joke about how many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb? Only one, but the light bulb has to want to change. And we have to want to change. And one of the first people in the Bible who gives us an example of what it's like to say you're sorry for sin. Remember, Adam and Eve never said they're sorry. Cain never said he was sorry. Is King David, who after committing outrageous sins, wrote the famous Psalm 51. It's 50 in the Vulgate. "Have mercy on me, O God, in your faithful love and in your great tenderness, wipe away my offense." He realized that God has the power to make us a new creation, a new start. A lot of times people are stuck in the past, and other people will like to label you and say, "You're always going to be like that." But the person who knows how to repent is not simply sorry about what they did, but he or she is inspired by what God can do in their life. Let me read a few verses from that psalm, how King David is motivated by a new life. "Wash me clean from my guilt, purify me from my sin, for I am well aware of my offenses, and my sin is constantly in mind. God, create in me a new heart, renew with me a resolute spirit. Give me back the joy of your salvation. Whenever we are truly sorry for our sins, focus not simply on the sorrow, on the thing you did wrong, but on the joy, on the happiness, on the truly outrageous ability of God to give you a new start. Be motivated, not by what happened, but what wondrous things await you when you give your heart to God and say, create within me a new and righteous, joyful spirit. Slava Isusu Christu.